bit to that announcement. If you are a person at Visible Church who hopes to teach, or you are part of our teaching crew, you're getting the Word of God out to believers, you really ought to take this class. We really want you to take this class. It's very important that those who are teaching start at the right spot, start with the solid foundation and know what they're teaching. Now, let's see if I can do some of that. All right, we're going to begin in Romans. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. My version, New King James Version, it's not really my version, I didn't create this, but King James Version says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Man, oh man, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. I want you to remember that phrase, the grace in which we stand. Do you realize that the first century church was a charismatic church? Oh, yeah. Church of Rome was a charismatic church. I mean, they were speaking in tongues and they were seeing miracles. They were wild and crazy Christians, kind of Christians I like. Well, they understood this. We have been justified here in Romans 5:1. We have been justified. Not only that, we are being justified, and we are being in that process of justification, getting there by faith. See, God is able, I'm sure you've heard this, He is able to complete the work that He has begun in you. So that process of justification continues on. You are justified. You are in the process of being justified as well. Now, actually, before I go on, let's just pray. Lord, I thank You for the great blessing of knowing You. Lord, we love You. We just flat out state it. Let the world hear it. We love You. And our desire is to draw closer to You, knowing that as we do, You draw closer to us. Our desire is to learn more of You, that we may walk in the way that You show us. And Lord, tonight I want us to have a greater understanding and revelation of the grace that we are standing in. So Lord, I pray You open our hearts and our minds to receive. Holy Spirit, come and bring an anointing on this message, that those who are here and those who are watching from some other online service, Lord, that they would come away from this meeting with just a greater sense of their worth, a greater sense of who they are and what You have in store for us. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Bible says right here, you and I are standing in the grace of God. We are standing in the grace of God. In fact, I want you to kind of get a picture just in your own mind. I'm sure many of you have been to the beach and you've walked out into the water and you got out there, maybe up to your knees, maybe chest high, whatever, but you're standing in it and it's all around you. And I want you to consider this, that you are standing just like you would be in Lake Michigan. You are standing right now in the grace of God. Amen. Think about that. See, grace is everything that Jesus appropriated and willingly made available to us through His death, burial, and resurrection. It's the redemptive process. Grace. See, understanding grace is critical to Christian theology. Now, I think oftentimes we reduce the grace of God to just a sense that, well, when we're going through tough times, God will make us feel a little better on the inside. You know, Paul said that God's grace is sufficient for me. And sometimes that's all we think about. Well, when I'm going through a tough time, God's grace is going to be sufficient and I'll be able to get through it because of God's grace. Well, I want you to see grace as a whole lot more than that. It's not just being able to get by, having a little coping mechanism when you're under attack or under oppression or facing whatever difficulty you have in life. God's grace is sufficient. Not only is it sufficient, it is abundant, and you are standing in it to a level that you can't really imagine. Understanding grace is critical. Oh, and by the way, grace and mercy, they are not the same. Don't get confused. Don't confuse mercy with grace. Mercy is God withholding his judgment and punishment for anything that you have done, that what you deserve, basically. So mercy is you not getting what you deserve. That's an easier way to think of it. Grace is getting something that you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting it. What you do deserve, grace is getting something that you don't deserve. Grace, simply put, is God doing good stuff for us that we didn't earn, that we couldn't have earned, all because of Jesus Christ. God's grace. Now, again, the qualifier, grace is not a license to sin. Grace just doesn't cover up all of your bad activities. It's still, you know, We are called to live holy lives. Grace is often defined, I think when I hear it most discussed and preached about, the one term I hear a lot over and over again is grace is God's unmerited favor. Anybody ever hear that? Yeah. And it is that, but it's so much more. The connotation is limited if all we think of it's unmerited favor. I want you to think bigger. Grace comes from the Lord and his unending love for us and his desire to enable us to live in his will. His grace will enable you to live in his will. Now, a good example of grace is found in Philippians 2:13, where it says, "It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." That you would desire and then you would fulfill his good pleasure by doing the things that he has called us to do. Hallelujah. But grace is not just merited favor or unmerited favor. Grace is the new birth. That's grace. Grace is redemption. Grace is peace of mind. Grace is the peace that we have now toward God. Hallelujah. Healing is grace. Abundant provision is grace. Joy is part of God's grace for you. You're standing in all of this. All of this, you are in it. You may not have realized it, but you are in it. The gifts of the Spirit are all a part of God's grace. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Let's read Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 again. And see if it means a little more now. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the peace. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, we need to renew our thinking, really on a lot of different levels, but particularly when it comes to what I'm preaching tonight, we need to renew our thinking. See, we are not those who are struggling just to eke out a little bit of God's grace in our time of difficulty. So many people never think about God's grace until they're in a tough spot. And they think, oh, if I could just get a little more grace, I can handle it, Lord, with your grace. You're standing in it. You don't have to eke out a little here and there, a little drop from heaven when you really, you're standing in it. We are standing in the grace of God. No matter what your circumstances, whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're in the darkest valley, you are standing in grace. In Acts 17:28, Paul said, "In him we live and move and have our being." That's in his grace. Again, think about that. When you're standing chest high in the water, you're living, you're moving, all within that. And that's God's grace. You're standing in it. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, "And if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on," what? "On things above." Grace is above. Grace is one of those things you should be setting your mind on. "On things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Your life, no matter how it looks to the world, to others around you, your life is hidden in Christ. You're standing in His grace. When you get a bad report and you're struggling with how you're going to deal with this, you need to remember you are standing in God's grace. And by faith, you access that grace. By faith, we access that grace. See, grace isn't just a crutch. No. And grace isn't just in this church building. It's everywhere you go. 24/7, 365. You're not going to walk out into the parking lot and not be standing in His grace. I'm more excited about this than you are, I can tell. See, the question is not whether God has provided a cure for whatever ails you or whether the heavens above are brass. The question is, will you access what you are already standing in? See, you're already standing in His grace. Will you access that grace by faith? Faith is the key. Faith is the hand that reaches out to grab grace. I think that's why the devil relentlessly fights against faith. Why he continually lies to you about who God is and your standing with Him. The devil doesn't want you to believe this. The devil doesn't want you by faith to start accessing the grace that you are now standing in. He wants you to be oblivious to everything that's waist down or however deep you're standing in it. Look at Luke 18:1. Luke 18:1 is an interesting parable. And I've struggled with this, but I'm still working my way through it. But let's first take a look at it. Verse 1. "Then he spoke," this is Jesus, "spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." This parable, he goes on to say, "There was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man." So the parable is about an unjust judge. Sometimes I know people have taken this to think that this judge is God, that it's an example of God, and that we should always pray to God until we get our answer. But you just heard Jesus say, this is an unjust judge. He has no regard for man. Does that sound like God to you? No. So this isn't an analogy of God and you and your prayer. All right? "There was a certain judge," or "there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.'" There's a widow who keeps coming to him time and time again. And in verse 4, "And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me.'" So this widow keeps coming to him, and she keeps saying to him, "Give me justice. Give me what I deserve." And then the judge, in his mind, this is Pastor Bill's translation, based on the Greek, the judge says, "Yeah, as long as this lady keeps bugging me, I'm just going to give her what she wants because she's going to wear me out. She's going to weary me." That term "weary me," if you do look it up in the Greek, it's a word called, it's one of those long words, hupopiazzo. Hupopiazzo. You know, yeah, hupopiazzo, of course. All the scholars we have here. When you look that up, the definition that we get out of Strong's is this. It's an interesting word. It means to hit under the eye. This gal keeps coming to him and going to wear him out because this, again, the term, to hit under the eye, to buffet or disable an antagonist. It's like she's going to keep wailing on this guy until he gives her what she wants. He's going to get a black eye, and he doesn't want to have to keep dealing with this. So, because she has set out, he talks about her coming with her continual coming, she has not given up. She is not letting go of what she knows is rightfully hers. Even though he's an unjust judge, even though he has no regard for man, he is going to relent because she is not giving up. She is going to keep wailing on him until he comes up with the answer that she's needing. I kind of like that idea, especially if I'm thinking this unjust judge is a better picture of the devil than it certainly isn't God. This lady was not going to give up. She was relentless. And I tell you, everyone here, and I'm glad to see all the young people that are with us, it does not matter your age. What matters is faith. Will you believe? What matters is faith. If you'll set out, as this woman did, with a definite purpose, a definite goal, and you continue to sock the devil in the eye, or just continue to go against the antagonist that would stop you from receiving what God has for you or achieving the purpose and the will that God has appointed you to, if you will keep wailing away at it, you are going to eventually get your victory. Now, going back to Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 1. This time I'm going to take it another verse farther. Therefore, having been justified by faith, and let me again pause there. I don't know why within the body of Christ we have such a hard time realizing all that Jesus Christ has done for us and the position that we stand in when we are in the presence of God. We have so many, you know, I recognized maybe 10 years ago a trend that started. And I even commented on it in Bible studies, that there were so many songs that just talked about our identity. It used to be praise and worship music was talking all about God. And then it started to shuffle around to where everybody was singing about, and I wish I would have thought I would have come up with some lyrics and you would go, oh yeah, that's exactly right. But you know, I am his and he loves me, and it's all about our position, trying to remind ourselves again and again that even though I feel like a grub, even though I've fallen short of my calling, even though I know I'm just a terrible person on the inside, God still loves me. And the truth of it is, that is true. That is true. And we have this identity crisis where we don't understand that God's love is not based on what we do, is not based on who we are. It is based on what Jesus Christ did and on who he is. And when God is looking at you, he's looking at his son. If you are a believer, if you have accepted by faith, he as your savior. Man, oh man. Anyway, I didn't have that in my notes. You are justified by faith. All right, let's get that done. We're justified. And through that justification, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, as if that wasn't good enough, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And you know what? We also rejoice in the glory and the tribulations. We glory in tribulations. Why? Because we understand that through those tribulations, God is going to bring about a good result. In the thick of the battle, you need to maintain your joy, or the devil is going to steal it and you won't win. We understand as we're standing in the grace of God. In fact, let's read on, verses 4 and 5. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Verse 4, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Man, see, when we understand that we are standing in the grace of God, we can rejoice even in the difficulties, even in the tribulations, even in the time of suffering. Why? Well, because we're confident that God's grace is going to fulfill its purpose in our lives, that God's grace is actually going to bring benefit from that suffering. Well, now it takes some faith to believe that. You see, when you're going through the trial and you're in the pain, it's very difficult to keep reminding yourself, even through this, there's going to be a benefit. By God's grace, the suffering is not going to be the end of this story. God is going to help me through it and help it become a great testimony and help others as well. Otherwise, how can you rejoice in suffering? How can you rejoice in tribulation? The Bible teaches that every need that you have has already been provided by Jesus. It's already yours. It's already yours. The true work of faith is accessing what it is that you have received. What is in the spiritual realm, by faith, you drag it into the physical realm. My goal is to get you to see, again, that you are already in the midst of your answer. What it is you need, what it is you desire, what you are seeking that is God's will, you are already standing in it. Splash around a little bit. Enjoy it. You're already in it. Jesus has already declared you righteous. Yeah, already. I know you have flaws. I got flaws. We all have our things that we're working through, and by God's grace, grab it by faith, by God's grace, we'll work through those. And it'll bring glory to God. You already are justified. You are healed. You are delivered. God's prosperity, blessing is on you. I believe all of this is part of God's grace. You are standing in the middle of all of that. You have been given a great inheritance. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, a longer passage of Scripture, but then I'm going to wrap it up. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What a marvelous inheritance you've already been given. What a marvelous inheritance by the grace of God that you have already obtained, that you are standing in. If you only had your heart enlightened, had your mind understanding, your eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the state and the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Same power that raised Jesus is the same power that is accessible to you by the grace of God through faith. Well, there's just a whole lot of message you could preach right on that alone. I don't have time to go through that. But which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Believers, you have been given a great inheritance. A great, if you only understood, you would fight more for it. If you realized what a great thing God has bestowed upon us, you would fight harder for it. I want you to think about this. Let's say you had a grandfather who died, who just happened to have a whole bunch of money, like $100 million squirreled away that nobody really knew about. And he died, and you find out he had $100 million. And in the will, you're the person that he named. You are the inheritor of that $100 million. And let's say there was a crooked lawyer who was trying to keep you from getting it. I guarantee you, you would fight. You would not just go, oh, well, it's kind of hard. Never mind. I'll rely on the grace of God and suffer through and I'll be okay. No, if you knew that for a fact, you would fight for it. I would fight for it. I wouldn't let some crooked lawyer steal from me the great inheritance that was due me. And I tell you what, the enemy wants to steal from you through lies and deception the very inheritance, the greatness of God that has been bestowed on you through his grace that you are standing in right now. And you're letting it go. Well, I shouldn't say you. I let it go too. There are times I have to slap myself around and say, come on, wake up. There's an inheritance that's already been provided. There is grace that you can access by faith to overcome this situation. We've been given a great inheritance. I tell you, the devil is trying to cheat us out of it. Not just some of us, every one of you. And don't for a moment think, well, I have suffered enough and the devil is going to let up on me. He is unrelenting. He has no sympathy for the plight that you are in. He will continue. And the only reason you are not dead now is the grace of God. Because the devil would take you out in a moment if he had the opportunity, if he had the power and the ability to do it. He can't just do it that way, but he can take you out by deceiving you, by lying to you, by enticing you into other things than God and the Word of God. We need to be fighting. What kind of a fight are you going to put up? Now, I've already revealed to you, the inheritance is yours. You're already standing in it. All that you need has been provided. Everything for life and godliness has already been bestowed upon you. Are you going to fight for it? I am. I want you to. We need to be victorious believers. You know, the widow in Luke 18, she wouldn't give up. She continued to declare and to demand what was rightfully hers. Even in the face of an unjust judge. Again, most people would have said, well, never going to get any justice from that guy. I'll just let it go. Don't be that way. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Man, oh man, your circumstances, I tell you, are subject to change. If you get a little enlightenment, if you get an understanding of all that God has done and provided for us, oh man. Don't live by what you see. Don't live by what you feel. Live by faith in what God has revealed. Amen? Amen. I'm going to stop there. I told you we'd get you out before 10. Let's finish in prayer. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Son. That what was needed, what had been lost, has now been provided, has been recovered, has been restored, and we are recipients of that grace by faith. We are recipients and standing fully in it, recognizing, Lord God, that there is so much that you have done for us and so much love that you have bestowed upon us that we have no reason to doubt it, no reason to give up on it. But we're going to be relentless in pursuing it. We're going to be those who believe. We're going to be those wild-eyed, crazy Christians who have just a desire to see all that you have promised in your word come to pass in our lives and in the lives of those around us, and the community restored, and this nation revived, and the world evangelized. We pray for all of that to be just imprinted upon our hearts, that we not forget it, that we not let it go, that we are relentless like that widow. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for the word that encourages us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.